and welcome to On the Brighter Side. I'm your host, Monica Tanner, and this is episode number 29. Today, my guest is a wife, mom to a spunky little girl, mint chocolate chip ice cream lover, and is a former corporate finance employee. After working over 10 years in the field, she quit her job to pursue something she was not only passionate about, but could bring positive change in people's lives. She is currently pursuing coursework towards her master's in psychology. She is the host of the Anxious Rebels podcast, which is a platform for people to share their stories about mental health in a fun, judgment-free, and safe way. She strongly believes in talking about mental health more, removing the stigma against mental illness, and making the conversation mainstream. Without further ado, here is my conversation with Reva Modi.
Hi, Reva. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit more about you and your family and your podcast.
Sure. So like I said, my name is Reva. I am the host of the Anxious Rebels podcast. As far as my family goes, we live here in San Diego. I have a tiny family. I have a little girl. She just turned 5. And I have a dog who is somewhere between 9 and 12. But he acts like he's 4. We live here in California. We've been here for about 7 years. And the reason why I wanted to start this podcast is because as far as my history goes, I'm someone who has dealt with anxiety for a long time, especially when I transitioned out of being a full-time working professional. So I used to work in corporate finance. I had a lot of anxiety there, but then the second I quit, the anxiety just skyrocketed and I had a whole journey that went through that. And then I decided to launch something that I just truly resonated with because I've always wanted to have my own platform, and having anxiety and dealing with it and talking about it made me feel better because a lot of people don't want to talk about their struggles. So talking about it helped me feel better, which is why I decided to launch my podcast. So that's me and my history in a tiny nutshell.
I love it. I love it. So you and I met at Allison's Brand Workshop, where we all were asked to look inward, dig deep, and pull out our most empowering why. So my most empowering why was helping women and men, anyone, tap into the courage to do something really big. And that's what I love about you. I'd love for you to share with us your why.
Can we talk about how difficult and excruciating that process was?
It was.
Yeah. I mean, it was eye-opening and amazing, but also like, oh my God. But my overall, what it all boiled down to was the tagline, if I can do it, you can too. And if someone like me who has anxiety can actually do stuff and it can be a non-perfectionist, you can too. And that's what it ended up becoming, that, okay, the more and more you share about your journey, the less and less people feel like this is something that they can't do. And the more and more you show you can do things, other people will be inspired to do those things as well. And it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be pretty. And it kind of took me out of my comfort zone of, I'm going to show the ugliest things and be okay with it because that's me doing stuff. And that's better than me not doing stuff. And that's the overarching theme. So if I can do it, you can too. That's like my little, I wouldn't say catchphrase. I'm just going to go with tagline.
I love it. So your podcast is all about anxiety and you share with your listeners your own experiences as well as interview guests who share their experiences. How did this idea for a podcast materialize and how did you find the courage to share your story in such a public way?
Sure. So podcasting is so interesting. And the reason why I love podcasting, especially for people who have anxiety, is because you are not on your phone. So you're not scrolling while you're listening. Typically, people don't do that. So usually people listen to podcasts, or I do, when I'm driving or I'm unloading the dishwasher or I'm folding laundry or if I'm on a walk with my dog. That's when I'm listening to a podcast. And that's like you getting information about something you're interested in straight to your brain. There's no other distraction. And that was my favorite part because the extra stimulus that comes with social media in general, and like, okay, you know, you can read an article about anxiety and then you go and click in the multiple ads. You would also like this article. And then suddenly you're in a deep, dark space and you're in WebMD telling you that you're going to die. And then you're on Instagram where you have people talking about their anxiety, and then suddenly you're like, oh, but they're doing this and then they're doing that. And then you're in another deep, dark hole on social media. My favorite part about podcasting is that doesn't happen. And that didn't happen as much to me. And that's what I wanted for those who are going to listen to me as well. It's me and you talking. That's it. Nobody else, no social media, no one else to compare with, no WebMD telling you you're going to die. All good stuff. That's what I wanted from podcasting. And that's why I thought it was a great place to start.
I love that. So can you focus a little bit more on the courage that it took to actually step out and share your story in such a vulnerable way and then just open yourself up to anyone and everyone who has an opinion about it.
Yeah. So if you actually go back and listen to my first, I believe, 8 podcast episodes, it's not even about anxiety. It's about me. And the reason why I share that is because, and the reason why it still exists out there, it doesn't have an intro. It has me talking in a microphone. I didn't even have this pop filter. I had nothing. I had a mic and I had my voice and I had a script because I read, and I'll be honest with you. If you listen to those first 8, it's about my story and about my struggle with this thing that I called at that point entrepreneur anxiety, that if I don't do this, and that's what I said in my first episode, if I don't do this and if I don't hit send or hit publish or hit schedule, I will never do it. It doesn't matter what I talk about at this point. I can say the most elaborate, amazing things. I can have the most insightful wisdom, but I will never find myself good enough. So regardless of what I'm going to say right now, this first episode or these 8 episodes, which I had recorded at that time, are going to go live. And it was just about something that I was most familiar with, which is me. I don't know about anybody else's struggle. I don't know about the world. I didn't know at that point. At that point, where I felt most confident was with my story. And I know that, you know, stories are important and all of that. And I know that sharing our story is part of the process, but I made it 100% of the process in that moment, because that was the most comfort I had. I was interested in a lot of things. I wanted to talk about a lot of things, but who I knew most about was me. And that's what I shared. So it has no intro. It has nothing. So the vulnerability and the confidence came from, to be very honest, this is a new podcast. You're not going to have a big audience. It's okay. Everyone thinks that, oh my God, there's going to be 75,000 people who see this. And I'm going to give you something to fall back on. You're not going to have 75,000 people who are going to see you. And that's a great thing. People think that they want visibility. They want people to see all of their stuff. It's like, why is no one seeing this? And, or on the flip side, so many people are going to see this and that holds them back. Well, congratulations, not everyone's going to see it. So do the damage early. Do it fast, do it early. And you're probably going to hate it, but think about how cool it'll be to look back and be like, well, look at how weird that was, but look at where I am today. And that's all I focus on, is that 1 year from now, I can look back and I can be like, well, that was kind of gross. But this is going to give courage to someone else out there, be like, okay, I'm in a good place now, but it started with a no intro, no pop filter, me and my voice talking about my life. And that's kind of how I went about it. And it sounds easier said than done, but really, I just wanted to get it out there.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you put it out there, because that's one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about sharing my story too, is because I feel like when I first experienced anxiety after the birth of my second baby, I didn't feel like I had anywhere to turn. I didn't know anyone who was experiencing anything quite like that. And so I felt sort of like an outcast, and like I didn't have anyone to turn to with my questions or to know that it was okay and that it was very actually normal. I didn't realize that it was normal and common for women, especially after giving birth, to experience these hormonal changes that gives you feelings of anxiety. I just felt like I was going crazy and I couldn't control myself and I had no clue what to do about it. And so if I can help other people understand that there's so many people out there that have experienced similar experiences and that it's not weird and it's not crazy and you're not going off the deep end, then I feel like I've done my job as a human just to normalize that experience for people. So
yeah. And at that moment, I really wanted to normalize the business building experience too, because we look up to so many people. Like you and I, we went and saw Allison. And I think I would like to think that most of us really like the way she is because she's still a human. Mm-hmm. And she talks about her struggles and she's very open about her sloppiness, you know, which I appreciate. And there are so many other people out there where now we're seeing where they are, but I don't have documentation of what they were when they first started. And I want that. Like when I get to a place of, okay, I've made a mark for myself in the world and I'm impacting people, I would love for people to go back and see the shit show that was how I started to give them confidence that this is how it always starts for everybody. Let's normalize and humanize even business building, especially on social media, because the highlight reel is such a thing. How can we prove that this is all so normal?
You bet. You know? Everyone had to start somewhere, for sure. Yeah. I love that. So have you had to deal with any judgment, negativity, or criticism of your work? And if so, how do you deal with the haters and trolls out there and just continue to do what you know you're supposed to be doing?
Yeah. Well, I'm thankful that so far the environment that I've surrounded myself with has been very accepting and they've been very encouraging. But let's be honest, the haters and the trolls and the judgment judgment doesn't come from people around you. And when that isn't there, where does it come from? Right in your brain. Like, I have the biggest critic, and she was actually, I've given her a name. Her name is Mind Reba. She existed a couple of episodes when I first started, and she has her own voice and her own little terrifying personality. But my haters are in my brain. And the more encouragement, I don't know if many people face this, but the more encouragement I get outside, the louder myself, my inner critic actually gets. Mm-hmm. And she's out of control like a lot of the time. So I deal with hatred a lot from my own mind because I tell myself, well, look at you talking about anxiety. What do you know about anybody else? Have you even gone to school to pursue this? Like, how much do you even know about what someone else's struggle is? Can you actually provide tips that's going to help somebody? How dare you say something that's of such a, it's so important for people to hear about this, but who are you to stand here and actually provide that, to be that thought leader in this process? Are you, you're not a figure of authority. Like, all of these thoughts of imposter syndrome pretty much is nonstop, and it's even there today. But what's so great is the validation has to start filtering in more. Like, you have to be able to open up this third ear where you're actually hearing someone else from the outside tell you that this is actually great stuff. And you have to remember, they don't have to tell you it's good, but they're voluntarily telling you that something is good. And you have to accept that people are complimenting you because it's good, not because that they have to say it, not because that they're lying, because that's a lot of what I thought. I was like, they just have to say that. They just have to tell me I'm good. Like, I don't believe that. That's bogus. Like, that's, they just, this is all just luck. And that's what actually happened to me. It's so funny. A couple of days ago, I had a really great podcast, like, download week. And all I told myself was, that's just dumb luck. Like, this is not ever going to happen again. But when luck happens multiple times, it's no longer luck, and it's actually part of your success. And you have to learn that, oh, it isn't luck when it happens more than twice or more than three times. This is part of your success. And you have to stop and appreciate and accept your success. And that is such a tough lesson for so many women, I think, also to swallow. Like, we always want to be like, oh, there's so much more we could be doing, or you're not doing enough. But you have to hear other people say that, and you have to listen to them more than your inner voice is trying to tell you, which is stopping you from the big things that you can do with your life.
Yeah. Thank you so much for addressing that, because I did wonder if you were formally trained in any type of anxiety or psychological training or whatever. But the truth is that your own life experience is the very best educator that exists in the world. And so if you feel passionate about it, then girl, speak your truth. I love it. And I love that you're finding success in this area, because it's such an important topic, I think, to address. And I just love that you're running with it and that you're finding success.
And I think also, like, what it's done though, is I am going to be pursuing my master's. So just because you start out without knowing exactly where your foothold is, still doesn't mean that you need to have all of the degrees in the world to start. I did find a little bit of a gap in how much more I could provide value if I did get an education. Mm-hmm. So I am going to be pursuing that. I am going to community college now, taking psychology courses, and then I'm going to apply for my master's in LMFD. But that awareness didn't happen until I started, and I couldn't have waited. I'm not going to wait another 4 years to open my mouth and help people. I'm not going to do that. That's just a disservice to me, and it's a disservice to whatever my experience and relatability that people out there can find in my story. So don't let that stop you.
Yeah, but your passion and your experience will drive your yeah. education, which is awesome, because you know exactly what you want to focus on and what you want to learn about and how you want to help people. And now you're gaining a voice, which is amazing, because as you're learning these things and adding them to what you've already experienced and learned, there's all these people waiting for the information that you can provide to them. So I think it's amazing what you're doing. I'm so proud of you. I actually went to school to get my master's. I was in the master's program, counseling program.
Really?
And I dropped out because I decided that that wasn't where my passion lied. So I did gain from that experience what I feel passionate about now, which is service, like we've said, and mm-hmm. social media and how to get service out onto social media. But I decided that counseling wasn't my direction and my vehicle. And that's when I started my podcast. So
yeah. And can we just talk about the benefit of knowing exactly what you don't want to do?
Exactly. Yeah.
Can we just, like, that is, like, people are like, I want to find my passion. How about finding what you don't like first yeah. by trying out multiple things? Like, that in itself is such a big deal that people are so scared to invest and then hate it. But I'm like, that's one less thing for you to try. That's great. Yeah. That's
it's
great.
Because people are really afraid of failure. And I mm-hmm. realized I had to fail at that real badly mm-hmm. to figure out that that wasn't where my strength was. And so now that I feel that's an easy thing to be like, well, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing, but this is. And you know, that didn't feel good and this does. So there is so much value in trying things and being willing to fail. You know, I mean, I don't think I personally failed at that, but I realized that wasn't the direction that I needed to be going in. And there's so much value in that for me, and just learning that wasn't the direction I should be going. And I was able to pivot, and now I'm finding so much more success. So there's definitely value in trying and not succeeding.
For sure.
From your own experiences and your study of the subject and all of your interviews, what are a few things you've learned about anxiety, how to identify it, and how to get help if you're experiencing the symptoms?
That's a great question. So a lot of what happened with me and my anxiety was physiological. So I started having a lot of heart palpitations, and then the top of my neck and shoulder would really get tensed up to a point where I started blaming my workouts, but I wasn't even exercising those muscle groups, and I was just constantly tensed. And a lot of what people don't realize about anxiety is you can have a perfectly peachy life, but still have anxiety. And what's really frustrating in the vicious circle about anxiety is you have anxiety, and then you look at your life, and then you're telling yourself, but my life is amazing. How dare I have anxiety? And then you go back to having anxiety about being anxious, and then you just get stuck in the spiral. What I've seen and what I've heard is, regardless of what your life is like, you don't need to have trauma. You don't need to have any kind of history of mental illness. You don't even need to have a genetic predisposition. You can have anything go on in your life that looks perfectly okay in the textbook, but doesn't mean that your mental health has to be perfect either. So you can have any symptom, but it doesn't have to be, you can have any symptom and it doesn't have to have a specific reason. And the second you're constantly feeling that something isn't right, you don't have to reflect on your life to provide that validation. You need to be able to go and talk to someone and ask the question, I've been feeling these things, but I don't know why, and work with someone to understand why. But then also on the flip side, the why isn't so much as important as what are you going to do to fix all of those other things. So it's a two-step process. So don't rely on your peachy life to be like, how dare I have? How do I not have perspective? Why can't I look at the grass as greener on the other side? Why can't I look at the glass half full? It's okay. It's normal to feel funky because something isn't right, and it's worth it to go and understand why.
So are there things that you do in your everyday life or in your business that cause you more anxiety, and how do you work yourself through those types of things?
To be very honest, for someone who builds a business online, the biggest thing that causes me anxiety is social media. It just really does. And a lot of what I've had to do, there's so many tips on social media and how to be better with it. But regardless of how many tips there are, sometimes I still struggle with getting stuck in that daily scroll and going into that vortex of, oh my God, but look at my numbers, or I don't have enough engagement, or will I ever get there to this person at that level that he or she is at? Or who am I even kidding to even try? Like yesterday was a really bad social media day for me where I was like, look at me, I'm sitting over here wanting to help people, but they're not even seeing my stuff. How can I help people if they don't see my stuff? So I had a really bad social media day yesterday. And those are the days you just have to cut the cord. You have to get off your phone. Like it's 100%. You're putting the phone away and you're going out to live your life. I went to Barnes & Noble. That is what I did because books ground me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that until I realized that books and reading was a way for me to get away from my day. But at the same time, I'm learning and adding value to my brain, versus social media is also a way for you to get away from your day, but you're really not adding value to your brain at that moment. So books ground me. So I had to step away, go to a bookstore and read. And that's what really helped me. So social media causes a lot of stress for me. It's still something I always work on, but it's very important to clean your feed, add some of the things that we even talked about. Let's have people talk about the more important things in life, where you're helping people, making people feel happier, people feel better, puppies, stuff like that. Like how can we make our scroll, even when we're in it, how can we make it better, a better experience for us and make it fun like it used to be, you know?
Yeah, I love all of what you just said. And I was really excited to ask you what your thoughts are around social media and the anxiety associated with FOMO and other social media phenomenons, especially when we're talking about our kids and trying to help our kids make this transition from their forming their identity on and off of social media. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are around that, how we can make that transition smoother for our kids. I love the idea that you said, just get off of social media and go to a bookstore and get your information there. But do you have any other thoughts around that and how we can help our kids get through some of the craziness that is there?
Sure. Actually, it's so funny. A couple of days ago, I did a poll on my Instagram where I specifically said, I'm secretly praying that by the time my kid gets to 13, that social media will be extinct. And there was like a gajillion people who totally were like, oh my God, yes, because we have like younger girls. And so many people agree with that. But I think the biggest tip for anybody out there who's on social media and who is worried about this is, anytime you're making a post, ask yourself, if my daughter were to make a similar post, or if my son were to make a similar post, how would they feel about themselves while they're making that post? And on the flip side, if there's something that's bothering you about someone else's post, a good way for you to get a gut check about whether that's a good post for you to see or not is, how would my kid react if he or she were to see that post? And that gives you a good idea of, okay, if I want my kid to be happy on social, I'm going to make happy posts. If I want my kids to be positive about their bodies, I'm going to make a body positive related post. If I want them, I don't know, to feel comfortable around food, or think about the issues that you're seeing in the world today that you're not satisfied with for your kids, and do the thing you need to do, because you have an amazing free zero obligation platform to make that change. So think about that with every post that you're making, that if my kid were to see this, how would they feel? Like, that's a good way for me to, when I make a post, I was like, ugh, like I have older posts of like, oh, work out every day, you know, if you don't, like, if it doesn't hurt, it doesn't matter, like garbage like that. And if I think about it, I just like, ugh, I'm feeling so gross, I want to go take a shower. Like, if my daughter were to see those posts, I would be mortified. It's a good gut check.
I love that. I love that, seeing everything through the filter of your kid's eyes, for sure. Yeah. That's definitely a good way to check what you're posting. So what's the hardest thing you've had to personally overcome to get your message out into the world?
We talked about it before. The hardest thing is definitely my inner critic. Are you asking from a technical standpoint or a mental state? Is there a specific way you want me
to
go?
Just whatever's been hard for you. I want my listeners, if they're thinking about trying something, going online with something, doing a podcast or whatever, just what kind of challenges can they expect to see, and how have you kind of worked through them?
Got it. Okay. So my biggest challenge was trying to make everything be the way that I think it's supposed to be. So to make that more clear, you need to remember that you grow every single day, especially in the world that we're living in today and how much stuff we have access to. Your platform is going to grow and change every single day, and you have to be okay with that. So when you start out and when you're telling yourself it needs to be perfect the way it is right now, and I've heard so many people, well, it's taking me about 3 months to work on my website. And I'm like, but I want you to know that at 3 months, when your website comes out, the fact that you've grown in those 3 months, you're going to hate your website in 3 months. I'm sorry. And you're going to tell yourself, oh, now I need to change it because I need to add this or I need to add that. The one thing I had to learn was, I thought about, okay, you know what? I want my Instagram feed to look a certain way so that someone who has anxiety, if they come and see my page, they're going to feel a certain way. That changes every single day because I change every day. I learn something new every day. I focus on something new every day, and that's what I want them to have access to as well. You can't have an expectation of what something is going to look like. Don't have a picture perfect view of what your business is supposed to look like. You're going to change, and be happy about that. I think change is an amazing thing, and you don't need to have that certain expectation to live up to, because that expectation doesn't exist. So just go with the flow, change as you go, and be okay with that, because everyone's going to appreciate your growth and you're going to appreciate your growth as well.
Yeah. I absolutely agree with you that there's value in just getting your message out into the world and it doesn't have to look a certain way, because the truth is nobody can say it the way you say it. Nobody can do it exactly the way you can do it. And so there's so much value in just putting it out there, no matter how it looks. And then, you know, once it's out there, you can tweak it.
Get better at it. Yeah. But you can't get better at anything if it doesn't exist. Yes. And I always say this other thing, like, you know how you said it, you said, no one can say it the way you do. Another way of looking at it is, no one has your life experiences. Even if you think that, oh, I sound like someone, or I look like someone, or I have a feel like someone, no one has your life. So you get to tell your own story, which I think is pretty cool. Like, I always say, we're more the same than we are different. Although everyone says we are unique, I like to flip it a little bit, but we are unique in that our lives are totally different. My life can never be like anybody else's. Pieces could be, but not the whole thing and not the big picture. So that's one way of helping you kind of get your stuff out there. And then you can can always get better at it.
Yes, I agree. And I think that certain people relate differently with different voices. And so a lot of us can be saying very similar things, but my story will touch somebody and your story will touch somebody. And together we just can create, there's room in the market for all of us.
Because you bring such a good point. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that piece where you said together we can hit more people.
Yeah.
And people are thinking, oh, I should be more quiet because there's too many. But no, you're
never
missing that piece. And I love that. That's a really good point.
Yeah. I'm so drawn to strong women with strong opinions. And I know there's other people that would rather it be a little softer or whatever. And so I just feel like we're all spoken to in a different way. And so if we can combine our voices, then there's just so much good we can do together.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people think that a lot of the famous people, like everybody likes them, but I can tell you, I mean, I'm not going to say it, I'm not going to name drop, but there are easily 5 or 6 of them that are like, I don't appreciate the way they communicate. I don't like the way they break down what they're trying to explain. And I frankly can't relate their lives. So I'm not going to listen. But then in the other person's mind, they're like, but look at how many followers they have, which means everyone's listening. I'm like, no, that's not true. It's not, because I can tell you, I don't. So that's helpful.
Yeah. Yes, I love that. So have you found any tips or tricks to help you relax and unwind when you're starting to feel particularly anxious in a situation or something like that?
Yeah. So breathing for me is a big one. And I know everyone's like, oh, okay, she breathes. We all breathe. I get it. But look, my favorite part about what I'm studying is mixing the science with the more famous ways of living life. So everyone talks about mindfulness and everyone talks about breathing and everyone talks about journaling. Yes, these are things that have existed for a long time, but now that they're popular, I feel like they're losing their meaning. They're losing their value. But the cool thing about breathing is, and what got me excited was, the reason why we get the muscle tension or the headaches or the heart rate stuff that happens when we have anxiety is because when we breathe really fast, we're sending less oxygen into our body because of shallow breathing. The second I was like, oh, look at me inhaling this oxygen. I don't know. I know that sounds really weird. But the second I told myself I'm giving myself more oxygen and made it super nerdy and geeky in that manner, I understood the value of breathing. So for me, a lot of my anxiety comes at night when I put my head down on the pillow, because I'm thinking about everything that either didn't happen or everything that needs to happen the next day. And my heart rate, like I can hear it in my ears. That's when I know, okay, this is not okay. So I'll take in a breath, hold it for 4, exhale, hold it for 4. And I'll do that over and over again until I'm suddenly asleep. Because what you're doing is you're taking your focus away from what's concerning you to your breath, which takes it from like the amygdala to the prefrontal cortex, which is like, okay, I'm not worried about that stuff anymore. Let me focus on this breathing. And then suddenly I'm asleep. So that's been a big game changer for me, especially when I can't slow down when I put my head down on the pillow. That's my favorite tip.
I love that. No, that's fantastic. I think there's so many of us have trouble sleeping. So that's such a great, useful thing to think about and to study more about. So one of the statistics I am like keenly aware of, because I have 4 children and I care about them so much, but is the rising rates of anxiety among our kids. So do you have any advice for us on how to help our kids recognize and handle anxiety in a healthy way?
Sure. So I have a young kid, so I haven't had to really worry so much about that, but I can tell you from a parenting standpoint, something that I've had to watch myself do. So when my kid gets anxious or when she gets frustrated with something, she yells. Like that's her go-to. She just gets loud. And she, the other day, oh my God, she actually kicked the washing machine. I was like, I have never seen her do that. I was like, that's a bit much. But anyway, one of the things I notice as parents do is when your kids yell or when my kid yells, I yell. I yell about her yelling. And if you think about that, that's warped and that's messy. And I feel like that sets up anxiety, not just more for your kid, because you're yelling at her for kind of getting her feelings out there, which she should be doing. And then you're yelling about how she's doing it, which is basically telling her you should yell because you're frustrated. So you're mirroring her response, which is not what you should be teaching them. So a lot of the time I notice, okay, if she yells, firstly, I tell her, I'm really glad she told me what's bothering her, because I don't want her being raised in an environment where she can't tell me what's pissing her off. And I know more things piss her off that she's 5, like she can be using a pink cup instead of a blue, and that could be like the worst thing that happened. But there's no issue too big or small when it comes to a 5-year-old or your kids in general. There's something bothering them, there's something bothering them. But the more I realize that the less I yell, the faster she stops yelling, and the faster we get to talk about her problem. As long as we can talk about the problem with our kids, that's gold. You should be able to have an open line of communication, and there should be no issue too big or small. Because let's think about it. Even as adults, ourselves when we have anxiety, a lot of the time it's for some stupid stuff. Like when we think about what someone else said or the way someone else looked at us or something that happened outside of us, which you know is really dumb, but you can't get yourself to stop worrying about it. The same thing happens to our kids. And we have to be okay with there's no issue too small, no issue too big. We have to be able to talk about it. So stop yelling and open line of communication. I think for me, I don't have an older kid. So I don't even know. She's going to school starting like in a month. I don't even know where things are headed, but yeah, she's five going on like 17 sometimes. So I feel like that's helped us a lot.
I've definitely, I hope this doesn't happen to you, but just to prepare you, I did have a child who was so anxious about going to school, and every single day of first grade, she cried. And so we would be outside the door and I would have to like coax her into the classroom every single, I mean, literally it lasted probably 6 months of
really?
First grade. So,
God. I have more anxiety about her going to school than I think she does.
Yeah. And I hope that sticks for you. But some kids have a lot of anxiety. And it was funny because there was another mom who dealt with the same thing, and her daughter was in second grade. And so we would just kind of meet there at the door, and we'd kind of like give each other props for getting our kids to go into the school. And, you know, now we can go start our day. But
Were they better once they got in the door? Once the day started, did they feel better? Or was it just a horrifying day once they started?
No, for sure. I mean, my daughter did great in school and she learned a lot, and she actually loved her teacher and her classroom. It was just this anxiety that she had built up about going in the door for school. I mean, she had all kinds of issues, just ranging from how she looked and her friends and all these different things that think about. But I mean, once she got in the door, she was totally fine. It just was, she just worked herself up so much. And
yeah, I'm trying to like downplay this entire school thing because I am extremely anxious. So in my past life, I've switched like 7 jobs in 10 years. And every time I've had to go to a new job, that anxiety was insane because, you know, you're making new friends, you have to make a first impression, so many eyes are on you, things like that. So I'm more anxious about her going to school than she is. And I say it sometimes and then I'm like, you should not be saying that and putting this in her head, you know, like, oh, she'll be okay. But it's scaring me. I'm like, ugh, because when I was a kid, I don't remember having the experiences she has. Like I'll see her walk into school and her friends say, oh, I love your outfit. And I'm like, you guys are 5. What? And I'm like, oh, this could just be 5 times worse when she goes to kindergarten. I'm not excited. She's not here, so I can say that I'm not excited.
Well, good luck. We'll follow up with you and see how that went.
Thank you.
Well, Reva, thank you so much. I feel like you've shared so much wisdom with us and given us so many great things to think about. Tell me what you hope to ultimately accomplish with the Anxious Rebels, and what's your big dream?
All right. So my big dream is that anybody who has anxiety going forward just has this, like when they're having a bad day, they can go onto their podcast app and download my voice and feel better about what they're going through. And that's my big goal, that ever since I've started going to school and I've been kind of immersing myself about mental health in the news, I just want to save everybody. And I know that that's not my job. We're not here to fix people. I just want everyone to feel better about themselves. And that's where a lot of the anxiety and depression comes from. And I know I see that a lot in your work, where you just know people just need to feel better about the world and about themselves. And that's my overarching mission. But at the same time, when it comes to like the mental health side of things, they have a place to go where they can get information that will make them feel good. It's going to have actionable tips that they can walk away with and implement and feel better on the spot. That's my
goal. And just that community that you're building too, where they have a soft place to land, someone who understands what they're going through. I love that. So what are you working on now, and where can my listeners find you?
Sure. Right now I'm working on studying for my GRE. So yes, which is not going very well. It's not. So I'm working on that, but I'm also looking to build, it's in the works. Maybe I'll put it out there. It's in the works. I want to create a sort of system where I can help people feel better by mailing them something. I'm working on it. It'll be cute. It'll be fun. It'll be uplifting. It'll be positive. So I'm working on that. But people can find me on Instagram. I'm only on one social media platform because anybody else who has anxiety, stick to one. Okay. Stick to one. I'm on Instagram. My profile is Mint Chip Rebel because I love mint chocolate chip ice cream. And my podcast name is The Anxious Rebels. And that's where you can find me.
I love that. And we'll link to all that in the show notes. Thank you so much and have such a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.
Wasn't she wonderful? This was definitely one of my favorite interviews. And I feel like Reva gave us so many great wisdom nuggets and things to remember when we're feeling anxious, because at some point we will all go through something. And I just love
love that she is so willing to talk about her own experience and make it more mainstream and acceptable to tell your story and relate to others. We wish her the best of luck in her schooling and can't wait to see what the future holds for her. So go check out her Instagram account and her podcast, both listed in the show notes. And thank you so, so much for being here. If you liked the show, make sure you leave us a comment or a review. I really appreciate you sharing this podcast with your friends. And until next week, have courage, be kind, and stay on the brighter side.